Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Vikram, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the conference call of Garden Reach Shipbuilders and Engineers Limited, arranged by Concept Investor Relations to discuss its fourth quarter and year-ended 31st March 2023. We have with us today Commodore P.R. Hari, Indian Navy retired, Chairman and Managing Director, and Shri R.K. Dash, Director of Finance and Director Personal Additional Charge. At this moment, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please note this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand the floor over to Commodore P.R. Hari, Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vikram. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the management of Team GRSC, I wish you all a very good afternoon. I am Commodore P.R. Hari, the Chairman and Managing Director of the company, and I have with me here Sri Ramesh Kumar Dash, Director of Finance and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sandeep Mahapatra, the Company Secretary. Let me at the outset welcome you all to this con call to discuss the financial performance of the company for the quarter ending and financial year ending 31st March 23. I am sure that you are all familiar with the operations and the functioning of the company since we have interacted through con calls and in physical mode over the last 1 year. I believe that it is the physical performance coupled with effective treasury management that translates into a strong financial performance. And so, let me take you through the highlights of our physical performance in the year gone by, the order book position, the execution plan for the current orders, and also give you a glimpse of the future outlook of the company. We started the current we started the last financial year, that is FY23, with an order book of ₹24,147 crores. That comprised of 7 projects, including 24 marine platforms, 3 for the Indian Navy, that is a P-17 Alpha projects for 3 warships, 4 survey vessel large ships, and 8 anti-submarine shallow water crafts. There is total 15 ships from these 3 projects for the Indian Navy, 1 project for the Indian Coast Guard, a fast patrol vessel project comprising of 1 ship, because we had already delivered 4 ships earlier, so 1 ship was remaining. A project for the government of West Bengal, an electric ferry, we call it the next generation electric ferry. 1 project comprising of 6 patrol boats for the government of Bangladesh, and another export project for the Cooperative Republic of Guyana, a passenger cum cargo vessel. So total 7 projects, 24 marine platforms. Of these, we have completed 2 projects. The fast patrol vessel project for the Indian Coast Guard, we delivered this ship on 31st of December last year, 31st December 2022, as against a contractual date of 31st January 2023, that means a month ahead of schedule. We also delivered the passenger cum cargo vessel for the government of Guyana on 12th of December 2022, as well ahead of schedule. In addition, we have completed 7 launch. Now, launch is a very major production milestone in the construction cycle of a warship. So we completed 7 launches during the year gone by, that is FY23. 1 fast patrol vessel, 1 ocean-going vessel, 2 anti-submarine shallow water crafts, 2 survey vessels, and of course, the prestigious P-17 Alpha, the second ship of the P-17 Alpha project. In addition, we also laid keel for 6 ships, that is 5 anti-submarine shallow water crafts and 1 vessel for the government of West Bengal, the next generation ferry. As mentioned, of the 7, we have completed 2 projects during the year and shall now brief you, regarding the status of the ongoing projects. The P-17 Alpha project is now at a phase where the physical construction is reaching its mid-project phase. The first ship, we already completed 50% of construction. The second ship, following closely with around 45% of construction, and the third ship, chugging along fast at 30% of construction. We intend delivering these ships commencing mid-2025 and shall complete the delivery of these ships during mid-2026. Coming to the Survey Vessel Large project, the first ship has already achieved plus 80% physical construction. The second ship following very, very closely with over 70% construction. The third and fourth ship with 55 and 40% of physical construction. Of these, the first ship is now at the trial phase and we intend delivering this ship this year. The last of these ships, which I had mentioned, that has now touched a physical progress of around 40%, shall be launched during mid-June this year. If you look at this project as a whole, as I had mentioned, the first ship delivery will commence this year and we should complete this project during the next year, that is 2024-25. Now coming on to the anti-submarine shallow water craft project, we have already launched two of these ships and both these ships have touched plus 50% of physical progress. The third ship is planned to be launched during mid of June. And the delivery of these ships are planned between 2024 and 2026. The next generation ferry that we are presently building for the government of West Bengal, we intend delivering this ship during the Q3 of the current financial year, targeting November for delivery. And the last project, there is the Bangladesh boats, the patrol boats for the government of Bangladesh, we intend delivering these ships during the current financial year. The last financial year ended with an order book of ₹25,111.29 crores. How the figure has gone up is through a contract conclusion that we achieved with the Indian Navy for 4-in-number next generation ocean going patrol vessels. We concluded the contract with Navy on 30th of March 2023. With an order value of approximately 3,500 crores. Product diversity has been our USP, unique selling point. And with our products ranging from warships to bailey-type portable steel bridges to marine diesel engines, we have taken this level of diversity to another level. Having concluded a contract with the Indian Navy for commissioning supply of 10 naval standard guns, 30mm naval standard guns with an order value of around 250 crores. This contract has been concluded very recently. Coming to the Bailey Bridges segment, as I had stated during our earlier interactions also, we own around 60 to 65% of the Indian market. And last year, we had concluded an MOU with the Border Roads Organization, one of our major customers, for 30 modular bridges. And this year, on 7th of May this year, we have signed an MOU for another 30 bridges. In addition, during the last financial year, we have been accorded the Green Channel Certification, the only Indian organization manufacturing Bailey bridges to be certified by the Quality Assurance Organization of the government. In this segment, we are also executing an order for the government of Bangladesh for modular bridges. On the marine diesel engine segment, hitherto we have been only assembling, testing and carrying out trials of diesel engines. These engines come in semi-knockdown or fully knockdown condition from our partners. And we used to assemble these engines, test them and hand over to the customer. In the last year, we moved a step ahead and concluded an MOU with the Rolls-Royce for localization of high-speed engines. We expect good dividends once this MOU is translated into a license agreement, as these engines are in high demand for our major customers, that is the Navy and the Coast Guard. Another vertical that we have been providing impetus over the last year and a half to two is on ship repairs. We had taken over three dry docks from the Kolkata Port Trust during end 21, and these three docks that we have taken over from KOPT, that's the Kolkata Port Trust, have been almost having 100% occupancy, and we have been carrying out the refits of Coast Guard ships and commercial vessels in this facility. Going forward, our aim is to consolidate the strength that we have from a very healthy order book and conclude and execute the existing orders with the last order, that is the next generation ocean going patrol vessel, by FY 2029. And while we execute these orders, also bid aggressively to get new orders that are on the anvil. Having covered our physical performance, I shall now share the highlights of our financial performance. We had recently declared our audited financial results, and I'm really happy to inform you that in terms of financial performance, FY23 has been the best ever in the history of our company. The revenue from operations have gone up by over 45%, that is 45.7% from 1754 crores during FY22 to 2561 crores during FY23. And so has the total income gone up from 1918 crores to 2763 crores. With the EBITDA going up from 294.88 crores to 351 crores, registering a growth of 19%. The PAT going up from 189.53 crores to 228 crores. That is a growth of 20%. Our earnings per share has gone up from 16.55 rupees to 19.91 rupees, registering a growth of 20%. The PE ratio moving up from 13.68 to 22.88. Our net worth going up by 12.5% from 1257 crores to 1413 crores. And return on net worth correspondingly registering a growth of 20% from 15.07 to 16.14. With this, I conclude my introductory remarks, and the moderator could take on and steer the questions, please.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. We'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star one. Ladies and gentlemen, in the initial rounds, we request participants to restrict questions to per participant. If you still have more questions, please join the queue afresh. We take our first question from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking my question, sir. I have a couple of questions. The first one is essentially on the revenue booking that we are expected to do in this year. Looking at your platform, the patrol boat would be delivered sometime this year. The frigates are in advanced stage of, you know, where you have peak revenue booking. So just wanted to get an idea of how much revenue booking we are looking for this year, and possibly if you can mention for FY25 as well.
Thank you, Mr. Amit. We have had interactions earlier on the revenue generation from 2022 to financial year 28. That is when the current order book, excluding the next generation of UAVs, are going to be completed. Now, in the last year, when the project had, with the delivery of two ships, that is the vessel for the government of Guyana and the hospital vessel, and with the other projects reaching a level of production maturity wherein the equipment going, we have registered a growth of around 45.7% and recorded a revenue of 2,561 crores. Now, coming to the current year and the next year and that is FY 24, 25 and 26. As I had mentioned, majority portion of the current order book is from the is the P-17 Alpha project. And within this project, the first ship has touched, as I stated, 50%, the second ship following close by with 45%, and the third ship at around 30%. And if you're taking a shipbuilding cycle, this is the phase when a ship is moving from 40 to 60, is when the equipment go in. And when the equipment go in, and definitely high-value equipment, the revenue, it is direct, the equipment going and the cost of equipment is directly proportional to the revenue generated. So we are very confident, and as per our build strategy and the production schedule, we expect to maintain an upward trajectory during 24, 25 and 26. That's all I can, I am not giving you figures, you know the current order position is 25,000 crores at the commencement of the financial year. We have also stated that the projects are in a stage where equipment will go in. And I also mentioned that we are on an upward trajectory. So we expect to touch the peak revenue generation during the coming 3 years, that is 24, 25 and 26. The process already started. Actually, in FY22, we were just hovering around 1,500, 1,600, 700, up to 2,022. Now the leap has started. And again, I'm reiterating that we will be able to maintain the support trajectory.
Okay. The second question is essentially on the next generation Corvette. Now, this particular project has figured in the standing committee of the different report also, that till FY25, you know, the orders that they have mentioned that they are likely to place. This particular project fits in over there. But so just wanted to get the current status of the and where we are in the, I mean, if there are any approvals pending or something, I mean, just wanted to get an idea of that.
Thank you, Amit, again. I'll give you and the other investors and analysts who are online a broad overview of this particular project. Why we are very interested in this project is, this is one project that we are eagerly looking forward to. The AON, the approval of necessity, was recorded by the Defense Acquisition Council for this particular project during May-June 2022. Now the process thereafter is that once the AON, and the AON value is approximately 36,000 crores, it's a high value project. And this project is for 8 ships. And as per the thought process of the customer, that is the Navy, this project is going to be split between two shipyards, with the L1 shipyard getting 5 ships and the L2 shipyard getting 3 ships. The project the requirements, that is the specifications and the customer requirements, are being finalized. And as per the defense acquisition procedure norms, we expect the RFP for this project to come out sometime during the second half of 2024. Once the RFP comes out, then the process of bid submission, the L1 selection, all those things will go on. And as you rightly said, the contract is expected to be signed with both the L1 and L2 shipyards sometime during 2025. We expect it to be mid-2025. Now, again, I would like to expand on this particular project that, as I had mentioned, is a very, very high-value project, that is 1,000 crores for a single project, with the L1 shipyard getting 5 by 8, so that comes to around 24,000 crores. And our strategy would be to go aggressive or getting appropriate on getting this five-ship order, purely because of the captive expertise and experience that we have at GRSP for building corvettes. For information, and I have stated this before, and some of you know, that we are the only Indian shipyard to have built and delivered 9 corvettes, both missile and anti-submarine warfare corvettes, to the Indian Navy. And all 9 of them are with active service, with Navy, and doing active service for the nation. So, in a nutshell, high-value project, AON accorded, the requirements being finalized by Navy, RFP likely to be out during end second half of 24, that is calendar year 24, and order likely to be during mid calendar year 25.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. Thanks so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. You mentioned order book of about 25,100 crore. Can you give a breakup of the order book in terms of P-17 Alpha, ASW, and survey vessel large?
Sure. Yes, let me just go through the figures. Yes, the order book value is 25,111 crores, and this comprises of 4 survey vessels large, P3, P17 Alpha, and 8 anti-submarine shallow water craft, and of course 4 next generation OPVs. So for the P-17 Alpha, we have around 14,000 crores, that is 47% of the order is from the P-17 Alpha project, and the other 3 projects put together, and of course the miscellaneous orders, come to balance 53%. The survey vessel large project, we have 1,470 crores, and the anti-submarine shallow water craft project, we have around 5,500 crores, and the NGOPV project, a recently concluded contract, we have around 3,500 crores. This is a breakup if you are speaking about the high value items. P-17 Alpha, around 14,200 crores, the survey vessel around 1,470 crores, the anti-submarine shallow water craft around 5,500 crores, and the next generation ocean wave patrol vessel 3,400 crores.
Okay. Now, second question is, obviously you touch upon that over next 3 years we will see the upward trajectory of the revenue. But just to see, so basically P-17 Alpha and ASW are up for delivery over next 2.5 years. So is it fair to assume that at some point of time we can do almost like 5,000-6,000 crore of top line over next 3 years in any particular year?
See, first point I would like to clarify is that the survey vessel deliveries will start coming out from the start comments from this year. But as you can see, survey vessel, we are just left with around 1,400 crores, all 4 ships put together. And these, yes, P-17 Alpha, we have around 14,000 crores left remaining in the order book, and the anti-submarine shallow water craft around 5,000 crores. Now, coming to the deliveries, the survey vessel project will finish between 2024 and 25. The ASW shallow water craft deliveries will commence from FY24 and move on till FY27. And the P-17 Alpha, the delivery will commence, because there are only 3 ships, of course, high value, very, very high value ships. The P-17 Alpha delivery will commence from FY26 and end in FY27. I hope you got it. So, mid of 2000, calendar year 2025, and end at middle of calendar year 2020. It's still over to FY27. So, yes, there is a definite possibility of the order book touching the figure that you mentioned. If you apportion the order book value that is remaining, And this could be in 2020, that is the FY25 or FY26.
Okay. And my last question from my side, on the recently received order of 30mm naval surface gun, so I think this is the new area where we are entering this year. So if you can broadly touch upon that, do we have those kind of expertise or the capacity, we will require the plant or capex, and any partnership we will be required to execute this order? And if you can just touch upon the execution timeline and margins in such business.
Okay, thank you. Thank you again, Mr. Joshi. Yes, we are very excited about this project because this is the first time that an Indian public sector undertaking, other than a core weapon manufacturer, venturing into gun manufacturing. And we have made a tagline, from warships to weapons. That's our new tagline now. Here, this is the part of the government's thrust on indigenization. So far, in the shipbuilding scenario, we have been able to attain almost 100% indigenization on the float part, that is the hull, the steel and associated fittings. They are all 100% indigenized. Coming to the move part means the propulsion systems. Maybe we are at around 60 to 65%, and the fight part. Fight is where the weapons and sensors come, where we as a nation was lagging behind, and the thrust of the government has been over the last few years to provide an impetus to indigenization in this front also. This is one of the initiatives that the government has steered, and we have definitely moved ahead in this direction, and we have concluded a contract, as you mentioned, for 30mm guns, 30mm naval standard guns for the Navy. The first order is for 10mm guns, and yes, we are collaborating with a reputed OEM for this project. And since you asked about the execution timeline, it is between 12 to 18 months. We intend to complete this project between 12 to 18 months. And here again, business opportunities are huge, because once we indigenize this product, and considering that the government thrust is on indigenization of weapon systems, after this project is executed, we expect future orders in this line. Project execution time, 12 to 18 months.
So any more...
Mr. Mansur, you're asked about the margin. Margins are between 7 to 8%.
Okay. And any other, defense manufacturing we are targeting? Anything on the ammunition or any more defense equipment?
I think we have our plate full. We are one of the biggest defense manufacturers building warships for Navy and Coast Guard. With 106 warships only to Navy and Coast Guard. So I think our hands are full. And, of course, we are also providing these portable shield bridges to the Army and the Borrowers Organization. Now this gun. And also, we have already diversified into deck machinery that is fitted on board the warships. And definitely, I had mentioned earlier during my introductory remarks on the marine diesel engines, the high-speed diesel engines, which are again used on board warships. So I feel we are limited to this at this moment, and unless some new technology comes in, we will definitely explore such opportunities also.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone now. Take a next question from the line of Harshit Kapadia from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just a few questions from my side. I just missed your initial part. Can you highlight what is the order info pipeline for GRSC? And secondly, any update on the next generation Corvette order which got the AON approved in the month of May 2022, where it is likely to be tendered out, and what is your expectation there, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Harshit. I had mentioned this earlier. I'll first come to the next generation Corvette. I had addressed this question during an earlier query from one of our other investors. Next generation Corvette, as you rightly said, the AON has been accorded during May, June last year. Right now, the technical requirements are being finalized by the Navy, and this is a project for around 36,000 crores for 8 warships of the Corvette class, and we expect the RFP to come out during the end of calendar year 2024, and the contract with the L1 and L2 bidders would be, and this project of 8 ships is going to be split between 2 shipyards, with the L1 shipyard getting 5 ships and the L2 shipyard getting 3 ships. And the contract is expected to be signed during 2025 calendar year. Now, coming to the order book, you must have already listened that the order book stands at 25,111.29 crores at the end of the last financial year. And now, since you asked about the order pipeline, what we expect or what is on the anvil. 114 fast petrol vessel project for the Indian Coast Guard. The RFP is already out, and soon we would definitely be submitting our bid for that. This could be in the tune of plus 1,000 crores. And 6 ocean-going petrol vessels for the Indian Coast Guard. Again, the RFP is out, and we'll again be submitting the bid for this. And 2 more projects. One-off project for Coast Guard for a cadet training ship, and a project for the NCPOR, that's the Polar and Oceanographic Research Center, which comes under the DRDO. They also come out with a one-off ship, a research ship, polar research ship, which the order value could be between 752,000 crores. So these are the 4 RFPs which are live as of now. And of course, the next generation COVID, which I just introduced, which is in the offing, maybe second half of 24, the RFP will come out. Navy has already come out with an RFI for 21 water jet FACs. The response has been given by all of us as in the 4 different shipyards, the British shipyard, and the other private players. And we expect the RFP to come out in 2024. 2 multipurpose vessels from Navy, RFP likely to come out in 2024. Order value could be in the range of around 1,500 crores. 120 fast interceptor crafts, again for the Indian Navy. RFP expected 2024-25. 5 next generation survey vessels. This is similar to the survey vessels that we are currently building. These ships could be with some more advanced features. That's why they are called next generation survey vessels. RFP likely to come out in 2025. A hospital ship for the Indian Navy. RFP expected 2025. 18 next generation fast patrol vessels for the Indian Coast Guard. 25-26 RFP could come out. And 22 interceptor boats for the Indian Coast Guard. RFP expected in 2025. So this in a nutshell are the orders that are on the anvil. This could be between any of the capable and qualified shipyards among the names that I mentioned.
And sir, what about the landing platform dock, sir?
Yes, there are 4 landing platform docks. This again is a high-value order, could be in the range of between 25,000 to 30,000 crores. The RFP is expected in 2025-26. Yes, I have missed that. So these are the RFP which are in the pipeline over the next 2 to 3 years.
And sir, what has been the key reason why we are not able to scale up our EBITDA margins despite our revenue rising to an all-time high in FY23? So if you can share something, it would be really helpful, sir.
See, if wishes were also, if the EBITDA margin is directly proportional to revenue from operations, I should have had a 44% EBITDA margin. So, I mean, even I would love that. But please understand that shipbuilding, I have explained this before, shipbuilding is a process where the margins are relatively in the range of 7 to 10%. Now, in case of shipbuilding, I'm now not speaking about EBITDA margin, I'm speaking about the PAT margin. If the PAT margin is between rather anything plus 7 to 7.5, it is considered good. Now, coming to GRSE, JRST currently has got, I'm not speaking about small orders which will not have a consequential effect on the overall order book or the revenue. Let me take the four projects that we are executing, major projects. There is the P-17 Alpha, the survey vessel, the anti-submarine shallow water craft, and the NGOPV. In case of P-17 Alpha, that was a fixed price contract which was awarded to JRST, and the profit margins, it came on nomination basis, which you're familiar with. The profit margins are around 7.5. Now, in case of the other three projects, we have won them on competitive bidding. Competitive bidding against competitors, including private shipyards, where the margins are reasonable. And still, we have been able to maintain PAT margin above 7.5. Last year, our revenue from operations is 2,700, rather total income is 2,763. The PAT was 228 crores. That comes to 8.26%. So as we have discussed earlier, JRSB has been able to maintain and will maintain profit margins, that's the PAT margins, above the level that we have mentioned, that is around
7.5%.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You may please come back to the question queue. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please restrict questions to two per participant. We take the next question from the line of Shalini Gupta from East India Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So just two, three questions at my end. So you have said that the nomination contracts guarantee you a 7.5% EBITDA margin and a 5% PAT margin. So in financial year 20, sorry?
Yeah, yeah, please, please, I'll answer the question together.
Yeah, and then in financial year, sorry?
Please go ahead, ma'am.
In financial year 23 itself, our EBITDA margin was around 5.8%, so lesser than the figure guaranteed for you from your nomination contracts. So, sir, my question here is this, that earlier you have said that you won several projects where the bidding was very competitive. So now going forward, should margins less than what we saw in financial year 23? I'm not talking about PAT margins because they have a huge element of other income, but operationally, that is the EBITDA margin. Should we expect lesser than what we saw in financial year 23, which is 5.8%?
From the investor perspective, now, JRC has been giving an EPS of 9, that is 20% rise in our EPS. The market price has gone up almost 100%. P ratio has gone up. PAT, finally, what translates into the dividend and the market appreciation is the PAT. You had mentioned the EBITDA margin. I'll answer your question, direct question. EBITDA margin for financial year 2023. JRC's total income, 2,763 crores. EBITDA, 350 crores. 2,763 by 350 translates to 12.7%. So the EBITDA margin is not 5.5. It is.
It does not include other income.
One second, ma'am. Now, you will say other income. What is other income? I had mentioned at the beginning, how does the company function successfully? It's through effective treasury management. Other income is operational capital. That is what we use for running our projects. If we do effective treasury management of that amount, how can it be taken out of our EBITDA? How can it be taken out of our operational income?
So there's a special reason for this. The reason is that the other income comes from a body of revenues, which will go out of your book once your large projects like the P-17 Alpha are completed, because the P-17 Alpha projects will peak somewhere in 2025-26, and thereafter the large portion of other income will come down. That is the way the contracts are structured. That's what I've understood. So that is why we are always focused on EBITDA without the other income.
What should the, I mean, I would not contest that, but when it's the cycle, when P7 alpha gets completed, the JRC is not going to end. When P7 alpha gets completed, some other project will come in. High value projects will come in. That's all we all exist for. And the second part is the PAT, which again translates into the dividend, is increasing. We have registered over 20% growth from the last year. So, I mean, I can only say that these are the values that are available. And other income, I reiterate that other income, suppose if we do not do effective treasury management, would we be able to generate so amount from our working capital? We would not be. Yes, when this gets into production and when it is utilized for the project, more operating and our operating income automatically increases and more projects will come. So I do not agree that the EBITDA margin is 5.5%. We are very, very confident, and I reiterate the fact that the EBITDA margin is 12.7%, and the PAT margin, of course, it is 8.26%, as I mentioned. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Umesh Raut from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is more of structural in nature. So if I look at medium to long-term pipeline, I observe about 5 to 6 large marquee projects coming in from the Indian Navy. So whether it is next generation destroyer, next generation frigate, next generation corvette, submarine, LPDs. So basically, in your view, how Indian Navy will prioritize in terms of acquisition pipeline within all these projects, considering that they'll certainly have a funding constraint as well?
Thank you, Mr. Nesh. Yes, there are high-value projects that are coming in. One of them, that is the NG's Next Generation Corvette, maybe has already got an AON. And like I mentioned, that it's for around 36,000 crores. I deliberately not touched upon the Next Generation Destroyer project because it is still in a really good form. We expect it to get crystallized. The project could get crystallized in the coming year, and thereafter the RFP will come out. And also coming to the other major projects, high value, I'm only speaking about the high value projects that are going to come from the Navy. One would be the landing patrol, landing platform dock, LPDs. So these are the three high value projects that are, that are going to come out from the Navy. And if you're looking at medium value projects, they have a project of five next generation survey vessels that could be in the range of around 3,500 to 4,000 crores. And on a similar line, even Coast Guard has got a high value project of 18 next generation petrol vessels, fast petrol vessels coming up. Now, the government allots budgets financial year wise depending upon the progress of the project which has already been sanctioned and the fund flow that is expected through award of new contracts. So I don't see budget constraints as the issue at all with respect to project approval or orders in the coming years. And because these are required for the Navy, because this has already been approved in the long-term perspective plan of both the Navy and the Coast Guard. Now, coming to the RR, that is JRC's take in that, especially the next generation corvettes, the fast patrol vessel, which is one of our niche products, the survey vessels, and the ocean-going patrol vessels that are going to come for the Coast Guard, where the RFP is already out, we stand a very good chance of becoming L1 or L2, wherever it is a split order. Coming to your specific question of high-value projects, I have already answered, and as far as the budget constraints or limitations are concerned, I don't see any issue. Just to give you an example, there are, and of course the government's focus is on maximum indigenous production. Now, of the 43 platforms that are being constructed for the Navy today, 41 are being constructed at the Indian shipyards. And the Coast Guard, 100%. 9 platforms are currently in progress, all 9 by Indian shipyards. Now, between Coast Guard and the Indian Navy, I'm keeping aside, that is keeping aside the smaller vessels like fast interceptor craft or fast interceptor boats, which are going to come out in large numbers. I'm just keeping them out of the current calculations. The numbers of medium and large size platforms range between 45 to 46 for Navy and similar number for the Coast Guard. So this, in a nutshell, is the orders on in the pipeline in the coming year.
Got it, sir. Sir, my second question is pertaining to anti-submarine warfare shallow water craft. So we are hearing from the media news that there are some supply issues around engine set which required to come from the European countries, and basically because of that, delivery can get stretched beyond the expected timeline. So what is your view on this?
Thank you again, Mr. Nesh. We do not have any issue with respect to propulsion engines, the main engines which are coming from abroad. As a matter of fact, since you asked the question, we have already launched two ships. Two ships means naturally the engines should have been already lowered. We have already launched two ships of the project as per the production timelines. One more ship we are launching during mid of June, where the engines have already been lowered. The next two ships we plan to launch in September, engines already lowered. As far as GRSE is concerned, there are no issues with respect to propulsion engine, that is the main engine, coming in from above. Thank you.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vivek Namasivayam from Shanti Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My question is regarding the results.
Sir, please use the handset and come a little closer to the mic. Your audio is not very clear, sir.
Yeah, is this audible?
No, sir, please use the handset. Yes,
I,
yes.
I am on handset now. Is it better?
Yes, please
is
go
it
ahead.
Better? Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, thank you. Congratulations again for sustaining, improving the performance. If I see the overall record of GRSE as a firm, over the last 10, 11 years, sales has been more or less flat for 9 years, and then in the last 1 or 2 years, it's shown exponential growth. And if I see the operating profit in 2012 and 2021, or 2022, they are more or less the same, which is 144 crores in 10 years. So what has really changed? I know it's been, there have been ups and downs, but I'm just talking when I look across a broad time frame. But in the last 1-2 years, there's been exponential growth, which, as was already discussed, is not contributing to the same amount of a PAT growth except for in this year. My question is, you know, understanding that the next 2-3 years is going to be very, very good revenues. Will there be a significant impact or reflection on the PAT growth in the next 2 years? Because except for this year, PAT has not really grown much over so many years. And in the next 2 years, will there be a reflection on PAT growth significantly, given that the top line is expected to grow very high till 25-26, as was stated? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vivek. As you rightly said, our sales revenue has been more or less flat for a substantial period of time. And it started picking up actually from 1819 onwards. In 1819, we were touching around 1,386. 1920, 1,400. Then we had a dip during the COVID years. I'll just take the COVID year off. Then last year, 21-22, we then touched our highest revenue of 54 crores. And this year, as you rightly said, there has been an exponential spike. This year, it was the revenue from operations is around 2,561 crores. And if you're just taking the PAT, this revenue from operations, PAT then 1819 was 109, then 163, then 189, and 228 now. Now, why the spike has occurred? I'll first answer the question, then come on to your specific question on maintainability of PAT. Why has the order of sales gone up? Why has the PAT correspondingly increased? We have an order book. We had an order book of plus 20,000 crores from 2016 itself. But in shipbuilding, translation of an order book into revenue recognition happens at a certain phase. After FY16, then we got two more projects during FY19, that is anti-submarine shallow water craft and some vessel large projects. Now, if you're looking at revenue recognition, that it peaks when a ship touches between 40 to 60%, where the equipment go in, high value equipment go in, and they are buttoned up on board and so on. So, considering the project maturity at this stage, with the first of the P7 Alpha ships bang in the middle of that phase, that is 50%, the second ship just creeping into that phase, and the third ship following, we are actually in a phase where, and of course, followed by the other smaller projects, that is the P7 shallow watercraft, one of the ships has crossed that phase. Answering to a previous query, I had stated that we just got about 1,400 crores left in the order book for the survey vessel project, and around 14,000 crores in the P7 Alpha project. Yes, the revenue will peak during the next 3 years, that is 2025, 2024, 2025, and 2026. Now, coming to your question, the PAT will definitely increase. We expect to maintain similar CAGR over the next 3 years with respect to PAT. I'm not assuring any exponential rise, but we can assure a CAGR of what has been maintained so far between 2018-19 and 2023. We'll maintain that for the next 3 to 4 years. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So, if I'm allowed, just one more question. Now, you are the leading shipbuilding organization in the country. Let's suppose, and business is divided across the various shipyards. Is it possible that if there are very, very bulky orders which need to be delivered in a short time frame, the organization has sufficient scale to be able to, manufacture as per the needs of the Navy? Is it possible, or you can only do as much as capacity that you have? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Vedic. Very interesting question. JRSC has, some of you are aware, some of you may not be aware, JRSC perhaps is a very unique shipyard where we have three independent, fully independent shipbuilding facilities. They're all based at Kolkata, and all of them have captive shipbuilding infrastructure. But two of these facilities fully capable of end-to-end production. When I see end-to-end production, means from freight cutting to delivery, with adequate number of dry docks, because in shipbuilding, the major requirement are dry docks and building berths, adequate number with enough length and breadth and displacement capacity is available with us here. In addition to that, the moment we decided that we will be venturing into shipbuilding, we did not want to dilute our shipbuilding captive infrastructure. So we immediately went in for long-term strategic lease with Kolkata Port Trust for additional free docks. What I'm trying to convey is that we did not want to dilute our shipbuilding prowess. So as far as the capability, one, capacity, and the infrastructure and facilities are concerned, there is no shortage. We'll be able to meet the Navy's and other Coast Guard's requirement. Now, the capacity of the shipyard is assessed regularly by the customer. They have a structured system for assessing the capacity of the various shipyards, including not by us, every shipyard. And whenever they place an order, that is always placed after assessing this capacity, and that's how we have been getting these orders. Now, coming to the point and answering your question, yes, we will be able to meet the needs and requirements of the customers. Strategy. Now, adding on to this particular answer that I gave, as a strategy, to facilitate concurrent construction. Now we are executing a project, an eight-ship project for anti-submarine shallow water craft of the Navy. We, as a strategy, have gone into a PPP model with the one of our private friends, private partners, and we've made a partnership model with them, wherein part construction is being done at this particular shipyard. So that will enhance the production. So as far as captive capacity, absolutely no issues. To enhance the pace, we will be going in for partnerships also. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. We take next question from line of Harshit Kapadia from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the question again, sir. Just wanted to check, what is the cash on balance for GRSP, your own cash on balance?
One second, please. Yes. Own cash, 140 crores. The project cash, 4,421 crores. Total, 4,521 crores.
Understood, sir. Thanks for that. And also, just want to check with you, sir. When we look at other shipyards which are listed, they are enjoying upwards of 10% kind of a margin even at PAT level, whereas you are at 7.5%. So where is the difference? Is it the scale which is the difference, or is there some efficiency which the other shipyard has and probably which is not available with GRSTs? What is the reason why other shipyards are able to do what GRST is not able to do?
Okay. First point, I would like to say that the EBITDA margin, if you're talking about EBITDA margin for the financial year ended 31st March is 12.7%. I do not agree with this figure of 5.5. Keeping that apart, we can have our own calculation methodology and perception. Now, if you there are only two more shipyards in India that are listed, the Cochin Shipyard and Madhavan Dock Limited. If you're comparing, I would just state that the projects which are being executed by these shipyards are on nomination basis, the major projects. Whereas GRSC currently has one nominated project, that is the P7 Alpha, and the balance three projects, major projects, have been won on competitive bidding. So it's the phase. It's the phase. If you analyze this over a period of time, starting from now, you may like to do the comparison after a couple of years, where each entity stands.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vikram. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a very fruitful interaction over the last 1 hour. And I'm sorry, I would have loved to answer more queries, but we are short on time. And I am hopeful that, if not all, most of your queries have been adequately addressed. We intend to lift the strength of our healthy order book and focus on timely execution of the ongoing projects. We are very confident that we have very clear execution strategy. Shall also be focusing on product diversification. We already started the process and we'll further consolidate on this along with the new technology adoption. Export shall be another focus area where we have made some inroads, and of course ship repair and the portable daily bridges. I would like to close by again bringing up the issue of margins, which we have been battling this margin perception over the last few interactions. And my sincere request to the analysts especially is that the profit after tax is increasing steadily. Second, what you talk about other income has been generated through effective treasury management from our own working capital. Once we both are on the same page, perhaps we'll have a clearer understanding about each other. Thank you. And thank you once again for sparing your valuable time to attend this con call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, gentlemen of the management. On behalf of Garden Reach Shipbuilders and Engineers Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us. You will now disconnect your lines.